world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
We all want what's best for our aging parents. Unfortunately, the predators of the world don't share our concerns. The World Health Organization estimates that 1 in 6 elderly people will become victims of crime, abuse, and neglect this coming year. This week, Diane's guest, a recognized expert in personal security, gives us some real-world tips on keeping our parents safe.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. In January, 81-year-old Catherine Wicker was killed outside an apartment complex in Raleigh by an assailant who tried to take her purse. Wicker resisted and was knocked to the ground. Here is how the official police statement described what happened next. The suspect got back into his vehicle, backed up, and rammed the victim's vehicle in an apparent effort to hit the citizen. The suspect then pulled forward and struck Wicker, briefly pinning her against another vehicle. The victim fell under the car and was dragged for several feet. The suspect rammed another vehicle, backed over the victim, and fled the lot. The shame of it all is that she was at the apartment complex visiting her son, who is disabled. This past June in Upper Manhattan, a 19-year-old thug brutally beat a 90-year-old man with a cane, apparently just for fun. And in August, 83-year-old Eddie Walker was shot to death during a carjacking in the driveway of his South Memphis home. The killer was a 21-year-old whose only interest was Walker's 2005 Ford Taurus. And just this week in normally peaceful Murfreesboro, Tennessee, an 85-year-old woman was raped at gunpoint in broad daylight, right in her own garage. A recent paper published in the International Criminal Justice Review shows that the elderly mistakenly perceive their home and immediate surroundings to be a safe space, but reality proves this to be quite the opposite. According to national crime statistics, most crimes against the elderly, especially the violent ones, happen in or close to home. A groundbreaking study based in New York estimated that 260,000 older adults, that's 1 in 13, in the state of New York, had been victims of at least one form of elder abuse in the preceding year. Perpetrators are most likely to be adult children or spouses, more likely to be male, to have history of past or current substance abuse, have mental or physical health problems, have history of trouble with the police, be socially isolated, be unemployed, or have financial problems, and to be experiencing major stress. In the study, family members were the most common perpetrators of financial exploitation of older adults, about 58%, followed by friends and neighbors, about 17%, followed by home care aides, about 15%. Just last month in Irving, Texas, Lisa Ann Coco, a self-described freelance home care nurse, kidnapped, beat and stabbed the 85-year-old wife of a patient she had previously worked for in an attempted robbery. The frightening part, Coco still has a valid nursing license in the state of Texas. And that's why you hear me over and over and over again. Do not choose someone to take care of your parents on an internet site, a sign in the food store, somebody coming door to door, even someone your neighbor has hired, who your neighbor trusts, who has been there, you know, for a year or however long. You have to go to a reputable service. You don't know that person. You don't know that person's boyfriend. You don't know that person's friends. You know, It doesn't matter how long someone's been there. If someone comes there and they have the intention of robbing from your parent, they could wait 2 years. You could say, oh my gosh, she's a trusted friend. She's been with my mother 2 years. How could that happen? She tells her friend who tells another friend, you know, you should see what these people have. You should see the money she has. You don't know what goes on. And then you don't know. Maybe she's not involved. Maybe she is. She lets the people in. She hides the key. Someone overhears something, her boyfriend or boyfriend's friend, and they come in and they rob and beat your parents. You just have no idea of what could go on. You have no idea who you're hiring. And I think this just happened recently in New York, where it was a caregiver who worked for two elderly people for 5 years. And she and her boyfriend came in one night and they killed the wife and the husband. I mean, so you really, really have to be careful and cautious. I just got a call the other day from a daughter who her brother is, he's been in and out of jail for drug abuse, drug problems. So he's in now a halfway house. And he got a hold of his mom's credit card and he's been giving out the credit card to like 5 or 6 other people in the halfway house. And she said, I'm looking at my mother's credit card statement and there's all these charges. So, you know, you don't know. So you have to be very careful. I always tell you, be careful of the nursing home. Abuse in nursing homes, not only by physical abuse by the staff or emotional abuse, but also by resident to resident. That's now a common thing that's happening in long-term care facilities. It's now recognized as a problem. So, you know, as children of aging parents, we need to be on the lookout for our parents' safety, our parents' welfare. And as an elder care consultant and gerontologist, this is my top priority. Families who can't be there, you know, at the time that their parents need their help, they hire me to be their eyes and ears, and they to give them professional advice, to hire, you know, tell them who to hire, professional services that they may need. And even those that are close by, but they don't have the time, they don't know, they don't have the knowledge, they hire me because I know what to look for and I know the warning signs of abuse. I got a call the other day from someone who her aunt has no children. She's in her 90s. And she said, I was by my aunt's house, and my aunt, you know, we have hired a caregiver to take care of my aunt, and we hired her through a friend. We know her, and she's been with my aunt for 3 years. And she said, this person would take my aunt to the bank, and my aunt would go and cash checks. That's something my aunt would do to get cash. And she said, but I happened to just be looking through my aunt's bank statements. And she said, fortunately, it's a bank that my aunt still gets canceled checks from, which you don't find that very often anymore. And she said that my aunt was saying to me, geez, I thought I had more money than, you know, I had. And it turned out that this particular caregiver wrote out a check for cash and signed the back of the check with her own name. And the bank, you know, knowing this person because she's come there, you know, with her aunt, they cashed the check. And so when the niece approached the caregiver, she said, well, I needed the money for rent. And your aunt said it was okay. And she said, no, my aunt didn't. She said, my aunt is of sound mind. My aunt did not approve it. And she said, my aunt said, well, why didn't she just ask me? Well, that doesn't happen. You know, they just decide they can do it. They can, you know, they can do it. And then it's going to be okay. Because your aunt, I've been taking care of her for this long. She wants me to have the money. Well, no, that's not true. And, you know, the bank cashed it because the bank, they see her with her all the time. Well, you can, you know, contact your parents' bank and you say to them, this is what you do. You know, I'm the power of attorney, or if I'm not, it's only my aunt's signature, no one else. I don't care who comes in the bank with them. You know, these are things you don't think about or you don't think you have to, you know, do, but you do today. And you can't just hire anyone. You just can't. And you say, well, she's been with her for 3 years. Yes, because now she knows, you know, you trust her. Your aunt trusts her. She knows your aunt's pattern. She knows what goes on. she's going to wait till the perfect opportunity, you know, so you have to be very careful. You have to hire the proper people, the proper services. Our parents, the elderly, they're targets for robbery, for purse snatchings, pickpocketing, car theft, home invasions, scams, fraud, and they're more likely to be seriously hurt than someone younger. You know, and you say, well, why are they targets? Well, they were raised in a more trusting age. They don't lock. I can't tell you how many times I go to a client's home and the door's open, unlocked. They'll say to me, oh, the door's going to be unlocked. And I go in and I go, why is your door unlocked? Oh, I always keep it unlocked. I'm in a senior citizen community. There's a gate. It doesn't matter. People find a way to come in. There's a lot of robberies in gated communities. It happens. They come in the back door. They come in a back way. They climb over a fence. Anything can happen. You know, if the person at the gate recognizes them all the time, if they come all the time, they have no trouble coming in. So they have to lock their doors. It takes me a while to get to the door. I don't care how long someone has to wait at the door. They have to ring the bell. You have to open the door for them. Don't leave your door unlocked. You know, they're careless about letting strangers into their home. Somebody knocks on the door and says, you know, I'm selling, a roofing salesman. They'll let them in and they'll talk to them, you know. They're more polite. They're more trusting. Somebody calls them on the phone. They have trouble saying no. They have trouble hanging up. You know, the elderly, they know they're more likely to have money. They're more likely to deal in cash. They're more likely to keep large amounts of cash in their home. A lot of elderly, they don't trust direct deposit. You know, they want to go to the bank. They write checks. They physically can't, you know, they may not be able to fend someone off. They live alone. And a lot of times they're afraid to report a crime. First of all, they're fearful of retaliation. They're fearful that we as children are going to say, you can't live alone anymore. You can't manage your money. You can't do these things. And a lot of times, you know, under stress like that, they don't remember. They make poor witnesses. They don't remember details. They're targets for financial exploitation. Elders most vulnerable to financial exploitation, they tend to be between the ages of 80 and 89. They tend to be women. They tend to, sometimes they experience, you know, some memory loss. They have some cognitive decline. So they forget, you know, they don't remember. They might not remember, okay, did I write that check? Did I do that? Possible signs of, you know, some possible warning signs of financial abuse that you should be looking for. Maybe there's some unpaid bills that, you know, your mom or dad meant to pay, or their spending behavior is suddenly out of character. They have a new best friend that it's someone who's become close to them and they start talking about them. You're not in the area. And maybe they've hired someone and, you know, oh, you know, and they start talking about her. She does everything for me. She takes me here. She does this for me. So sudden changes in their will, their trust, their financial documentation. They have an abrupt or unexplained transfer of assets. And when we come back, we'll continue on how our parents may be exploited financially. I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing. which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
You're listening to Parents Are Hard to Raise. Now, thanks to you, the number one elder care talk show on planet Earth.
And before we continue, I just want to say thank you to all for all your emails. Please keep sending them to me for all your questions, and I'll try to get to everyone's questions as quickly and as best I can. So we were talking about financial exploitation with your parents, and this is a big one, especially if you're not in the area, if your parents become close to someone. I've seen it happen where they give power of attorney to a stranger, you know, someone who says they're there to help them, and they do. They take them shopping. They take them, you know, do their laundry, cook for them. They're someone who comes knocking at their door and become their best friend. And your parents give them financial power of attorney, which is they give them legal authority to make financial and decisions on their behalf. So that's a big scam, you know, that your parents can fall for. So that's one thing to be aware of. It happens a lot, and they just bleed your parents dry. There's all kinds of scams, you know, phone scams, charity scams, sweepstakes scams. There's always a hook, something that attracts, you know, your parents, and then it causes them not to pay attention to the details. They're manipulated. They manipulate people into trusting them. And then there's a deadline. They have a strict deadline and little time for you to give them the information to make a decision. So, you know, any kind of charity, there's no deadline there, you know, there's no deadline, a sweepstake. They'll call your parents and say, oh, you've won a sweepstake, but you just have to give me your bank account information so we can directly deposit the money. Or you have to send us a check for the taxes, etc. You know, and your parents will fall for that. There's home improvement scams and repair scams. We see that a lot in retirement communities. Somebody comes door to door. Oh, we can fix your roof. You know, we can paint your house. You just have to give us a check, you know, to start out and buy the materials. And then they give them a check and they never come back. They steal the money. They steal your parents' identity through their bank account. No reputable roofing company, painting company is going to go door to door. So there's all types of scams that you have to protect your parents from. You know, a lot of times our parents get fearful because they hear all these things, and the fear imprisons the elderly in their homes. But knowledge can help them. They have control over their lives, remain independent, and feel useful. So I'll say to people, well, you know, I know there's a seminar in your area about, you know, abuse of the elderly, exploitation, you know. So, but a lot of times they'll say, well, I went, I can't get there, or it's at night. So any type of seminar or courses for the elderly, you have to know your audience. It has to be targeted for them. It has to choose a location that's convenient as well as accessible for people with physical handicaps. They have to be able to have transportation there. And also, when you're teaching the elderly, you have to communicate effectively. You can't be patronizing them or sound condescending. You can't treat them like children. Intelligence doesn't decrease with age, and you have to remember that. you have to be aware that they may have vision problems, they may have hearing problems. You have to speak clearly. Don't use microphones because a lot of them have hearing aids. You have to hand them, if you give them handouts, which they like, large print. You have to be brief in your presentation. You have to alter your pace. You know, do a series of things instead of all the information in one shot. Encourage them to share experiences. Hold the presentation during the day. Provide refreshments and breaks because they like that. And time for them to socialize. And you do have to publicize it in newspapers because they do read newspapers. Or in churches, you know, put posters in their clubhouses. And always give them a giveaway. And what do I tell them to always keep in all their rooms? A flashlight with a whistle that they can tie to it. They like those. I know recently the NYPD has launched a program designed to prevent crimes against the elderly. And they're giving them a reflective bracelet that comes with a high pitch alarm so that they can use the alarm to scare off crooks and to alert nearby people that they need help. And now they're giving them reflective decals that they can put on their canes and walkers so they can be seen better at night. So also another thing they are giving them are special pens with special ink that can't be washed away with acetone, because a lot of our parents, they write checks. They still write checks. So the pen can protect the check from thieves who fish them out of the mail, clean them off, and write checks to themselves. So now, as promised, I have a guest. And my guest this week is a nationally recognized expert in personal security. He's here to tell us what we might do to help keep our aging parents a bit safer in an ever-increasing dangerous world. He's a frequent guest on CBS News, on Fox News, and just last week he was on the Martha McCallum Fox News program. Welcome to the show, Anthony Calandro.
Thank you for having me. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. So I was wondering if you could tell us, you know, some tips for our elderly parents, how they could be safe at home, how could they be safe on the street, traveling? And I know, you know, self-defense tips, sometimes we can't always focus on them, you know, going to self-defense courses. But if we can teach them, you know, give them some knowledge, how they can protect themselves, how they can stay strong and protect themselves, be more aware of their surroundings.
You know, old and infirm, a walker, a cane, or an umbrella can also be a good tool for self-defense as well.
Great.
If you have someone coming at you, you can, you know, lift the walker up and push it towards them and hit them in the shin. And if you have ever hit your shin, you know that feeling you get. The first thing you do is you retract to grab your shin, which is a great time for the old person to strike the person with the walker again.
Right. Okay.
And hightail it out of there.
Great.
But earlier in the show, you were talking about the door-to-door scams, and one of the ones that works really well is someone dressed as public service will say there's a gas leak and they need to come in and inspect. And when you let them in the house, they leave the front door open, or they'll walk to the back of the house with you and they'll unlock the kitchen door.
Huh.
And they'll distract you while their counterpart opens the back door and comes in and robs you blind.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Because you can still be in the house, you know, and if you're old and a little feeble and your hearing is gone, somebody can be walking right behind you with all of your jewelry and possessions. And, you know, you shouldn't have your jewelry and possessions out on display. The worst place to store stuff like that is in the master bedroom,
okay.
Unfortunately. The best choice in any house would be in a kid's room. But obviously, if they're older, they don't have any kids, or you don't have a room decorated as the, you know, Barbie or
right.
Cinderella, because that's the last place a thief would go, because what could possibly be in that room, right?
Right,
a DVD
right.
player, they're thinking. They want to go for your old, you know, jewelry, and estate jewelry and stuff that's laying around, stuff that has great memento value to it and not as much maybe monetary value, but they're just going to grab it and run. So no one should ever come in your house. If public service came, you know, you should look through your peephole. They should identify them, and then you should call public service or the electric company or whatever to verify that someone's coming out. Or better yet, just call the police department. That's what we pay exorbitant taxes for.
Perfect.
And
okay.
Say, this is 123 Main Street, and there's a public service guy outside. Is this legitimate? And most police departments in that circumstance would send a radio car over, unless you live in a busy city, you know, like Chicago, because
right.
they're dealing with 900 murders a month there. Any other bedroom community, they would, you know, send a squad car out. So you say to the gentleman or the female, because it could be a female, because
right.
elderly would be more trusting
yeah.
if a 5-foot-tall, 110-pound woman in a public service uniform was at the door than a 6-foot-2, 300-pound guy, right?
Right.
So then you'd say to her through the door, the police are coming just to verify your credentials. While looking through the people, you'll know if they're legitimate or not.
Right.
Because they're
okay.
either going to run or they're going to wait in place.
Perfect.
You should cover your people.
Really?
A post-it note, a Band-Aid, a piece of paper with tape on it that you can flip up, because on Amazon.com, they sell reverse peephole viewers. So they can put it up to the door.
Right.
It's like it looks like a magnifying glass or an eye loop, and they can see right into your house or apartment, right through the peephole. It reverses it.
Okay.
So I recommend that everybody, not only seniors, but everybody. First thing I do when I check into a hotel, I bought 10 years ago, from CVS, the CVS brand, those round Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Guys never used those, by
right.
the way, you know. I don't know what women use them for, but I, 57 years, I've never used a round Band-Aid. I bought a pack, and I still have them. There was like 100 in there. And every time I check into a hotel, I stick it over the peephole. Because
okay.
I don't want anybody to look in. And you were talking about carrying your keys and a whistle. You know, they also sell online and in big box stores. They sell personal alarms.
Okay.
That go on a key ring. And when you pull the pin, it emits 120 decibel tone.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So, you know, if you have an older man or older woman, they don't have much voice left
right.
to scream or
right.
yell or fumbling to put the whistle in your mouth. If you're out of breath, your fight or flight reflexes kick in, you start having shallow breathing.
Right.
Good luck blowing that whistle
right.
with any frequency and time. So they sell these little, they're like $20. Patty's youngest daughter studying abroad, I sent her one.
Perfect.
I ordered online, I sent her one. She has it on her key ring. And I tell her, Michaela, whenever you're walking, just have your finger through the ring. And if anything ever happened, just pull it like you're pulling the pin of a hand grenade, and it's loud. 120. And the last thing a criminal wants is to be around noise.
Right, okay.
So that's another option that you can think about as well. What else you want me to talk about? Because I won't shut up if you interrupt me.
What about in their home? You know, if obviously the people are not letting anyone in. Secure window.
Doors and windows should be locked. Sliding doors should have a Charlie bar across it, or just cut a broomstick that wedges in.
Okay.
It's very easy with a screwdriver to jimmy the lock of a sliding glass door and get it open. There are YouTube videos of guys just rocking the moving door of a sliding door. You rock it back and forth 3 or 4 times and the lock pops.
Ah,
it all pops
okay.
over the lock and it slides open. But if you, family member, just takes an old-fashioned broomstick or a 2x2 and cuts it to size so it wedges in the door, they have to break the glass to open the sliding
okay,
door.
Okay, perfect.
And what will happen is sliding doors, especially in senior communities, are on a balcony. So now it offers me cover. You know, my buddy could boost me up, and I'm covered by the balcony, and I can work on getting that door open rather than going into the front door.
Right, okay.
The older people should know how to use a cell phone. They should know how to dial 911. There's no reason why you can't get personal alarms with alarm systems, you know, the falling down, can't get
right,
up thing.
Right, yes, okay.
But good luck, you deal with the elderly all the time, good luck getting a stubborn-headed old person to wear one.
I can't tell you how many times they have them, but they don't wear them. And they make the watches now, you know, they make everything to try to get the person to have it on them. And 9 out of 10 times, yeah, they do. They don't have it on them. Exactly.
You talked about having a whistle and something next to the bed. A flashlight next to the bed is great. I'm a big advocate of getting a light stick, Cyalume light stick, that you crack and shake.
Okay.
And put a front door key, entry key, to the on it, so that if they're in their bedroom and they hear a noise, they can lock their bedroom door, becomes a safe room now, and they can call the police. And when the police come, who wants to walk through the house to go open the front door if you think somebody's still in the house?
Right.
You can, while online with the police department, you can tell them you're going to open the bedroom window and throw the key out so the police can let themselves in.
Ah, okay.
And then when the police get to your bedroom door and identify themselves, then you can open the door and let them in. So that's another nice little safety tip.
Right.
Another nice safety tip is, I covered this in earlier shows, people... one of the deterrents is a TV on, right? So TV on, even on a timer, is not a bad idea because criminals will look and think somebody's home.
Right.
Believe it or not, the second most important thing is a car in a driveway. But most people want to park their car in a garage.
Right.
And I fully understand that. But there's a couple of good reasons. If your car's in a driveway, a burglar is going to think somebody's home.
Right.
Professional burglar won't care. But the other reason is if you feel somebody's in your house, your keys, your car keys should come in your bedroom with you at night, whether in your purse or whatever. You can initiate the alarm, the panic alarm.
Okay.
Now it's going to scare the crap out of the person that's either in your house or outside your house trying to get in.
Right.
When the horn and the right. lights. The other thing is it makes it really easy for the police to find your house.
Ah, that's great.
When they're coming to the
yeah.
scene.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So,
okay.
Little things like that.
Yeah, great tips.
Are important. It's hard to get through to people. Listen, if you make it to 85, 90 years of your life without incident, it's hard to tell them that they could be a victim of a crime, and they don't want to hear it until it's too late.
Exactly.
And so you have to kind of almost use the Jedi mind trick to convince them to do things like that. I know telephone scams happen all the time where they call up and say it's a grandson or granddaughter, they were in an accident, they don't want mom or dad to know, I need money, give me your credit card over the phone. Happens a lot.
Oh, my God. And they think it is their grandchild.
Correct. And they'll give them the credit card over the phone, and then the account gets wiped out. So the stuff like that, give me your number and I'll call you back.
Right.
You know,
okay.
And that's when the grandparents should call the grandchild directly to see if they were the one they were just talking to on the phone. Those phishing scams, they're called, they're quite effective. Usually it's someone that knows you too.
Really?
They know your situation. Like you go to the same grocery store and you talk
right.
about your granddaughter, you know, Claire or whatever,
yeah.
and then they get your information.
Okay.
It's all tied in that way. You know, you let that level of trust, and you let somebody, you know, you open the door a little bit for them, and they fully take advantage of you. I also think that everybody that should have their bedroom door should be a solid core door. If possible, it should swing out. If not, secondary swing in, and they should have a deadbolt lock on it because that makes your room a safe room.
Okay.
If somebody breaks into your house, you could retreat to that safe room. Or when you go to bed at night, you can lock that lock and no one can get in your house. They'd have to go through a wall. So it's a good sense of security to
right.
buy you time should something happen.
Right.
When people are out on the streets, you know, predators look for prey, and older people, you know, not sure-footed when they walk anymore, and you can tell they're not as alert or aware anymore. Your key should be in your hand. You know, we talk about for years carrying a dummy wallet or something. You know, they call it chump change. Take your senior parent and take a $20 bill, five singles, and an old expired credit card, put a rubber band or a hair tie around it,
okay.
and tell them to keep that in their weak hand pocket wherever they go. So if someone came up to them with a gun or knife to rob them, they can pull that out. And the old tip is to take it and say, this is all I have.
Okay.
Throw it in the opposite direction of safety,
okay.
and start running towards safety. So if I'm a low-level criminal, do I chase after the man or the woman screaming, running back into the mall, or do I just grab that bundle of money
right.
and run?
Right.
So I know it sounds like a defeatist thing to do, but I carry that when I travel.
That's a great idea. Perfect.
Thank you.
All these tips are wonderful. This has been a great show, and you've been a great guest.
Thank you.
Anthony Calandra, with a wealth of knowledge for everyone. And I think we need to have him back. Because,
anytime you want.
Yeah, because there's probably so much more that you can tell us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. And my survival tip of the week, do something kind for someone, and you're going to feel better and less. You're just going to feel better, which makes you feel a little less stressed. Even just letting someone go in traffic, letting someone ahead of you in the food line, any anything like that. Well, we've run out of time. If this week's show was helpful to you, or you know someone who would be helped by it, please tell them about it. This was a great show. Please tell them about it. They can subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode. Episode 34 at parentsarehardtoraise.org. I'm here to help you, so again, please tell me if there's something you're struggling with. Email me at diane@parentsarehardtoraise.org. You can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com, and you can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.